people stand on the major issues, you find that the solutions presented by Republicans or offered by Republicans are almost identical with the solutions the people themselves want to the problems. And what our job has been, and I, for many years, I will be critical of the Republican Party and tell you this, that for many years, I have said, the Republican Party's failure has been one of communication. We have not overcome that image, let the people know this. And I think to some of you, whether we discussed it the last time we were in here or not, I mentioned, yes, we did discuss, I remember now we did discuss the image of the study that has been made by political scientists at Georgetown University in 1972, where they found that the leadership of the Republican Party was almost identical in its views on the problems with the rank and file membership of the Democratic Party. But we have not been able to communicate that to the Democratic Party.
Isn't the election an ultimate opinion poll?
The election is an ultimate opinion poll, yes. But in this particular election, they say the whole thing was clouded by the affair Watergate. And I think the proof of that is that throughout the country, and you yourselves were writing to the effect that there seemed to be no great issues of concern to the people in this. But the other proof of that was that some of the most liberal candidates who were victors on the Democratic side campaigned as the most diehard sounding conservatives. And I hope that that represents a change. I hope that represents that they have become converted. There is a little cynical side of me that says that we will now wait to see whether the performance matches the promise.
If the party is one of false images, Governor, how do you account for all of the Democratic victories in California Tuesday? Why did so many people vote so many Democrats into office?
Well, it was pretty near an even split in the ticket. There were some races that were higher than others. I think you have to look at every race as to the identification of the individual, name value, whether one was better known. In politics, as we all know, one of the first hurdles that any candidate must overcome is the hurdle of getting name and face identification. Now, some of the candidates in the races had that. This is what an incumbent always has going for him. And there was a great return of incumbents to office, contrary to what people had said, that there would be such disillusionment that this would not be the year of the incumbents. But you look down the line, and it pretty much was the year of the incumbents. But there is an image, and I suppose it goes all the way back to the Depression days, that the Republican Party was tagged with that, in spite of the fact that a Republican president had been urging the very steps that were later taken by the New Deal before there was a stock crash. But that image has remained. And the truth of the matter is that the Republican Party has been the out party. In spite of occupying the White House, two presidents occupying the White House, now three, the Republican Party has been the out party for almost four decades. But they have not had control of the Congress, just as we've not had control of the legislature here in the state of California.
Governor, are you saying that you think Watergate is the only reason the Republicans did so poorly?
I think this is the big and principal reason, yes.
How about the state of the economy?
You had, you had an inflation thing, and with the resentment over the Watergate scandal, this just added to it, and people were disgruntled, and they had reason to be. Where the failure in the imagery falls is that this inflation is the result of Democratic policies of a Democratic Congress and Senate that's been in power uninterrupted for the last 20 years. And the things that they did that have brought about inflation were opposed by the loyal opposition, the Republicans who were in a minority, in all these 20 years. Now, it is not just a political accusation. It is an absolute fact that the Democratic Party subscribed to the new economics, a theory that said you can have an annual inflation rate and maintain prosperity, controlled inflation. And it is equally true that for years and years, the opposition to this, and I was one of the speakers myself long before I was in politics, claiming you could not that you could not control inflation, and that the entire history of economics in the world shows that every country that has tried to do it has had happen to it what is happening today worldwide, runaway inflation. Now, again, lack of communication. The people resent inflation, and I don't blame them. I resent it also. They've had hundreds of billions of dollars of their savings and their insurance policies literally stolen. Government, by its policies, might as well have gone into the vault and taken the money away from them, from their savings, the purchasing power that has been eroded from those savings. But all of that has been policies that people like myself have opposed. But we weren't able to get that message across to the people and haven't been yet. And we'd better darn well start trying to educate the people if we're going to cure inflation. No. We started late in the campaign with the idea, and we were just told there was no time available.
Nobody like Brown was campaigning against recycled Reaganism. Do you think that it's a part repudiation of your policies that elected him?
No, I don't, because at the same time, the things he was promising to do are the things we've been doing for the last 8 years. What? Well, he was talking about the new spirit, creative approach to government, which I thought was embodied in a creative society. He was talking about the economy and government, doing away with waste. Seems to me that for 8 years I have been the target for everybody upstairs who objected to cut, squeeze, and trim. And I hope that this is the policy he intends to follow.
Governor, if Watergate was a major factor in the Republican defeat, in hindsight, do you think you could have cut your losses if you and other Republican leaders had not stood by President Nixon for so long or stayed on the fence so long?
No, and I don't think there was any staying on the fence. I think there was a plain case of asking for the justice of proof of guilt and presumption of innocence. No, I think everyone did what they had to do and what they felt personally they had to do. For example, I could give you an answer to that. We saw a man who was one of the first, a Republican in the East, a candidate for governor, who jumped on the bandwagon for impeachment and everything else long before there was any evidence indicating that it was needed, and he was defeated in the primary and did not become a candidate for governor.
Governor, could you assess for us, please, the impact on the Brown administration of his having the smallest margin of victory in what appears to be a Democratic landslide, as his relations with the legislature, heavily Democratic legislature, do you think he might be inhibited or have less freedom to move than he would like, than a governor would like to have?
Well, I think that this, based on my own experience, I think that where he comes to a matter of a point of difference between himself and the Democratic legislature, where they are unreconciled as to some approach to a problem, why, I'm sure that this will give strength to the legislators in their opposition. An overwhelming mandate is inclined to have them think twice and say, well, maybe we'd better go along with him based on the vote. I had that experience with the then Speaker of the Assembly the first time such a meeting took place in our office, and he very bluntly said to me, I can come.
Governor, you're going to meet with the governor-elect in about an hour. What advice would you like to give him?
Well, what we're going to meet about, his questions about that unsought advice, I don't think is very accomplishes very much. No, what this meeting is about is to set up a program for the transfer, that as his schedule of appointments takes place and he has appointees, that we can bring them in. This has never been done before, never been done before in the history of California, and that's why, again, based on my own experience 8 years ago, we put in the budget the funds for such a transfer, and the legislature, I must say, in this bipartisanly implemented that and even added to it. And that was our suggestion to them also, was implementing legislation. And so now we will sit down and in this interim period open up all the drawers and let them take office with complete knowledge of the state and what's going on. And then anything else that we can offer, any questions they have, we certainly will answer.
Have you discovered any kind of truism that you found effective in serving as governor of California you'd like to pass along to him?
Well, yes, but it isn't original with me. It's something that a very great industrialist in this country once answered when someone asked him the secret of his success. And he said, I don't have any secrets for success. And he said, I have one formula for failure. Try to please everybody.
As he has appointees, we might bring them in. Now, what does this mean? That we might have two people sitting over here as welfare directors?
Oh, no. Oh, no. But in other words, they will have an opportunity to come in and see. Remember that the great bulk of the machinery of government is ongoing and permanent. For example, we've got a department of 7,000 employees in one instance where there are only four exempt appointments that can be made. But now they will have an opportunity to find out how that machinery works, what's going on, and this, as I say, this has never been done before. I think it'll make for a better transition, be better for the people of California.
Governor, will there be any plan to slow down on the Manchin project in light of Mr. Brown's election?
No. The legislature passed a bill to create such a residence, and the money was donated, the land was donated for that purpose, and construction is already underway, and the contracts have been let. And it's a residence not for any one particular governor. It's a residence for governors for on down through the years, for, I hope, 100 years or more, depending on how well it's constructed. And any individual governor chooses not to use it, why, that's up to him.
So in January, it'll be a lot more expensive to the state than if it were done now.
Not particularly. Contracts have all been let. This would require an act of the legislature to do it. I recognize there are still forces and people in Sacramento that believe that the residence should not be a residence so much as a tourist attraction downtown, and I think that's unfair to anybody that occupies this job.
Governor, if some term appointments should be available between now and January, do you plan to fill them? Point of offices that are turned rather than at the pleasure of the government?
I don't know what the situation is on that. Most of those would require Senate confirmation, and they would therefore become pleasure appointments, because I'm quite sure that the Senate would not confirm them at this time. But obviously, we're not going to leave jobs open for where necessary work has to be done.
Governor, the last time we were in here, we talked a little bit about the possibility of a move to create a third party. Do you think, in view of what happened Tuesday, that adds impetus to such a move?
And let me make it plain. That conversation when we were in here before, I think, was somewhat, it lost something in the translation. I am not starting a third party. I do not believe the Republican Party is dead. I believe the Republican Party represents basically the thinking of the people of this country. If we can get that message across to the people, and I'm going to try to do that.
In line with that, this week, Newsweek says that you have libertarian leanings, which is a whimsical group of diverse thinking people who don't like governmental services unless you pay for them and are against all kind of restraints on victimless crime. Do you lean that way?
Well, now, that's your interpretation of libertarianism.
Well, the only
comment I have made on that is that I have thought that the very basis of conservatism is libertarianism. Now, that's libertarianism not specified down to whether you want to carry your own letters or not, instead of having a postal service. Libertarianism is what I think was in the minds of the writers of the Constitution of the United States, that the basic principle of this country, differing from all others that I know, has been been the ultimate in individual liberty consistent with an orderly society. And this is the goal that I think, very frankly, this is the philosophical difference between the leadership of the Democratic Party and our own party today, that that leadership no longer believes in that goal or believes in the ability of the people to have that much control of their own destinies. They believe only government can solve the many complicated problems facing us today. Now, that does not mean that I subscribe to the doctrine of any group that may call themselves. You know, you can, libertarianism taken too far is anarchy. Just as the welfare state taken too far the other way is total authoritarianism, totalitarianism.
Well, how do you personally feel about the prospect in 2 months of walking out of here and Tim Tillman walking in is going to change quite a bit of what he's left here in terms of personnel? He's going to be signing a lot of bills he's vetoed. A lot of what you've done is going to be really wiped out. How does that look to you? How do you feel about that?
Well, this is something that faces anyone who holds this office. There's no one that can come in and in a few years pin down government to his philosophy. People are going to come along and government is changed by statute, just as we changed many things that we found here, I think for the better. I do know this, and I think the governor-elect has expressed this yesterday, now that the campaign is over, has already expressed his own recognition that the problems are not easy, they're extremely difficult, and that it requires a great deal of hard work. And I hope he approaches it in that manner. I don't know what we mean. That may be change. I'm quite sure there's still room for improvement. We didn't do all the things we wanted to do, didn't get them done. Maybe he has a better chance with having a legislature of his own persuasion. My only concern there is that that same legislature is the one that blocked a great many of, or attempted to, of the reforms we wanted and advocated the spending measures that would have taken this state into a great fiscal irresponsibility.
Governor, do you think the Republican defeats Tuesday will result in an erosion of GOP support to President Ford, making it more difficult for him to win the presidential nomination in 76?
Well, I don't see anything in the election that could have brought that about. I think the president has done what he had to do with regard to the campaign, if that's what you're referring to. For one thing, I think it has to be recognized. I've already seen the observations that, the president went out campaigning and he still lost. Does this hurt his prestige? I think an observation that ought to be made is that the president deliberately went into those areas and campaigned for candidates who were in trouble. He didn't just go out and grandstand by showing up with a guy who was going to be a sure winner. He tried to help somebody that he knew was losing when he went in there. And I think that's to be respected.
Governor, there's a constitutional limit on the terms the president can serve, and you've adopted that same limit on your own incumbency. There's a fellow going around the country saying that legislators should be limited to 2 terms, too. What do you think about that?
Oh, I've seen other proposals. I've seen a proposal by a Republican that there ought to be an age 65 limit on legislators and congressmen. It isn't all that simple, because we look back at the record of some very great statesmen who made a career out of government and who stayed in the Congress or the Senate and made great contributions down through the years. I think of one who happens to be a Republican. I could think of some Democrats also, but I think of Senator John Williams of Delaware, who even the Democrats call the conscience of the Senate, who was a great authority on fiscal problems confronting them in the Senate, finally retired. But you wonder what we would have lost had he been forced out of office at the end of 2 terms. I think the executive branch is far different. A legislator is one, a large group, and there is a give and take and a compromise that has to take place in a legislative body. The executive branch is the one, and I think this was respected, was taken into consideration in the decision. decision about the presidency, where, yes, a person can build up, if he sets out to do so, a machine. And I have not regretted. I'm going to miss very much. I've enjoyed this very much. I'm going to miss very much this job. But I have not changed my mind about the belief that I was absolutely right. Two terms is enough, and I still wish that we had been able to persuade the legislature, as we tried to in my first term, that this should be made official in the state of California. As a matter of fact, the people in their wisdom have indicated they must feel this way because there have only been two governors, I believe, in California's history who served more than two terms. I might be wrong in that by one. It's one? I thought there was one before him. Well, I'll take your word for it. I had, I thought there had been a reference to a second one. But so I say that the people themselves seem to recognize this. Huh? Oh. Sell it. Yes, I was going to say, won't you drop by the house? Well, no, I think the challenge of this, and I think the very fact of being where the action is, of where the problems are, of being able to confront them and try to do something about them, and instead of just standing in the street corner saying somebody ought to do something. Yes, that's, I think anyone who's ever held this job is going to must miss that very much.
Governor, Evel Younger will be the only remaining Republican occupying statewide elective office. Does that, in your mind, thrust upon him a special responsibility for leadership in the California Republican Party?
Well, I think that anyone who holds an office in the party is a part of the leadership of that party. And obviously there'll be special attention to him. Maybe we ought to declare Thursday's visiting day and have a relay of Republican visitors to see him all the time so he won't get too lonely. But, no, I think he's a part of the leadership and has been of the party. But I think that also holds true of, I think that holds true of your candidates, even though they'll defeat him.
Be a delegate to the 76th Republican Convention, or would you lead the delegation?
Haven't thought that far ahead. I understand we have a new situation now in which, with the open primary here, the candidates themselves must choose or name the delegates.
So, one, no, I mean, someone asked, would you be one if someone asked you to be a delegate on his slate?
Well, if it was the right person.
Yeah. Who would that be?
Well, I mean, somebody I supported.
Governor, do you see a leadership role for yourself in the Republican Party in California after you leave office? Titular leader or anything like that?
Well, I think that and this is true in any political party, unless you want to walk away from it and say, well, that's all, I'm through with that side of my life. No, I think that anyone who's held this office is a part of that same leadership. But I think there's one thing, let's make plain, when we're talking about leadership, we're talking about people who participate, people who are willing to serve, and to sit at the council table and help evolve policy. But in California, more than any other state I know, you do not have a leader who sits in a room and makes decisions affecting the party. Now, a lot of Easterners haven't been able to understand this, and that's why they like to make fun of California politics. Truth of the matter is, California politics are closer to the ideal of this nation than are those other states where someone in a room decides who the candidates will be. We better keep it that way.
Thank you, Governor.
When we met, he was out here for the purposes of speaking at that fundraising dinner, and we had a brief meeting and simply touched base on some matters affecting state and the federal government, and That was the extent of it. And it was a cordial meeting, and I'm sure we're going to have the cooperation, but then I've always been sure we're going to have cooperation.
Governor, at an October 15th press conference here, you said you didn't know whether this might be one of those periods in time when, according to you, the confidence of people to be restored perhaps by changing the name or something? You say you don't know. You really didn't know. Now you seem to be saying you do know that a third party is not the answer, that all the answers are here with us now. Would you tell us which way you know today?
I'm going to say the same things that I said in that October meeting, which, and I think it's all right for me to say them, because I think that they were not in all instances properly balanced in their presentation. I think you'll find a number of times that I said I believed that the main task should be, and that I was interested in revitalizing, I thought that we should revitalize the two parties. It has served us well. So I haven't changed my thinking on that. The other was a kind of hypothetical discussion that we got into that morning as to whether there was a change, because you yourselves have brought up the idea of evidence in your questionings of people's lack of interest or enthusiasm for both parties. Now, there's no question the last election reveals that there was a low turnout and that a great many people didn't bother to vote on either side. I think this is regrettable. I still say what I said then. I am not out to start a third party. I told you then I didn't know any more than you knew as to whether there was whether this was one of those moments when the people would make some changes. I'm going to do my utmost to convince as many people as possible that the Republican Party, on any objective analysis anyone wants to make, is more in tune with the thinking of the majority of the American people than is the other major party or either of the splinter parties that have started up.
I think that hypothetical discussion which occurred in October piqued maybe the president's interest in talking to you?
No, he was scheduled to be out here, and we were scheduled to meet long before that. No, I don't think so.
Did he ask you about it?
No, he knew better. He knew that I wasn't starting another party.
The condition of the Republican Party in any way?
Oh, we compared notes on our travels around and what the problems were. We were both agreed that our main problem was to get a turnout, that there was going to be a low turnout at the polls.
Governor, was there any discussion of possibly taking a job in the Ford administration?
Nope, never came up.
And your position on that, you would not be interested in that?
No.
You would not be interested?
No. Yes, I would not be interested.
Governor. Subject for a moment.
Were you on the subject too?
No,
didn't you indicate before that you'd be willing to serve as kind of a troubleshooter for President Nixon internationally, if you felt like using you that way?
Well, that came about first from a request from him. I would still be available for anything in which I could do to help. I just, I'm not interested in a Washington job.
Being ambassador kind of thing?
Any time that I could be of help, as I was on four separate occasions for the previous president, I'd be delighted.
You mentioned that you thought the Republican Party was still the party most in tune with the people. Don't the election results of last Tuesday indicate otherwise?
No, the election results last Tuesday recognized the fact that the Republican Party's greatest failure over the years, and I say this as a former Democrat who's seen them from outside as well as inside, is a lack of communication. There is a false imagery that still exists, even in some Republicans' minds, about the party. And I believe the time has come for our party, in non-election years, because I think this is the time when most people will pay attention without accepting things as campaign dialogue. I think this is the time for an education program as to what we really represent, what we stand for.
How is the party been misrepresented?
Oh, I think the image that is usually portrayed, the party of the rich, and that I have repeatedly in my campaigning given some statistics that indicate that that is far from the truth. For example, for the last 25 years, the Republican Party has outnumbered the Democratic Party 5-1 in small contributions. 75% of Republican campaign funding for more than 25 years has come from small contributors. Any Republican gathering is usually portrayed or hinted at, and most people have an image in their minds that everyone's there in white tie and tails and drinking champagne and eating caviar. And the truth of the matter is the rank and file Republican good cross-section of America.
Governor, you mentioned...
Have in mind, Governor, to spread the word.
Well, as I've told you many times, I intend to do not only some writing, but using the media and to be speaking out nationally on more philosophical lines, perhaps not actually using the party label, but on the danger today to free enterprise, the things that need to be done if we're going to maintain this system of ours. But frankly, I'm going to talk to our own Republicans here about the need for what I think is a modern merchandising campaign as to what the product is we're really selling.
Could that merchandising campaign and education be any attempt to rebuild the party after what it suffered because of Watergate?
Well, I think it's just the same as it was a case of rebuilding after the terrific defeat in 1964. Certainly, it's to revive the interest of those who are Republicans into participating in their party, but it is also to reveal to that great rank and file body of Democrats who couldn't support their party's leadership 2 years ago that the things that made them cross the line then still exist today. Well, because they've resigned. I don't think that anything that took place in Watergate was a reflection on the Republican Party. I don't think the Republican Party had anything to do with it. Now, if you want to go down the line and start looking back through history for malefactors on the other side, in the other party, I'll guarantee, and I haven't made a count as yet, that they outnumber us. But remember, for most of my life, I was a Democrat. And I finally got tired of swallowing hard over Haig machines and Kelly Nash machines in Chicago, Pendergast machines out in Kansas, the outright stealing of hundreds of thousands of votes in every election, enough to carry elections. It is not a pretty picture. And one of the only things that makes me hesitate to talk about it is I think the American people are discouraged enough with the political process without reminding them of some of the horrors of the past. But a lot of men have gotten rich in politics who were members of the Democratic Party.
Just as upset with what went on during the last years of the Nixon administration?
I have repeatedly said to you, I considered it an illegal and immoral and an incredibly stupid act, the thing called Watergate.
A great admirer of yours, William Buckley, has said that he would support a Reagan-Wallace third-party ticket. Aren't you influenced by that kind of thinking, public discussion?
No, I'm very fond of Bill Buckley, but I'm not influenced by that kind of thinking.
Capable, do you believe?
Yes, he's a Democrat and I'm a Republican, and I think we have philosophical differences.
Trips around the country in the future that you would not actually use the party label, how would you present your case?
Oh, no, what I meant to say there, let me make that claim, that this speaking is that I'm planning on is more directed at the philosophical issues and particularly in the area of free enterprise and what I see as some erosions of free enterprise today that has made us non-competitive in the world scene. And that's going to be the bulk of it. I, of course, on my own on the side, am going to continue as I can to do my party chores also. I think, however, that talking that philosophy does have a bearing because, the one party is much closer to that philosophy.
Governor, there was talk about establishing some kind of a foundation to employ you so you can continue to have an income in the next couple of years. Has that been finalized yet?
No, you mean like some separate foundation to... no, this is... I'm looking in different directions than that.
Mind telling us about your plan for income?
Well, the situation is too fluid yet, but there won't be any secrets about it.
What are some of your philosophical differences with George Wallace?
Oh, I don't think that he has the. I think he's more of a populist, and I think he has a greater willingness to employ government. Where I am looking for more solutions to the problems at the private level, in the private sector. You're all missing a big thing out of the pond if you don't get out there.
Eventually, you're going to continue.
take an active role in the selection of a new vice chairman and vice chairman for the State Central Committee next year?
Well, I don't know. I've been neutral, you know, all these years in that particular thing. I don't know what the situation will be, whether there's anything that would bring me to change.
Are you at this point supporting Lieutenant Governor Harmer for the vice chairman's position?
I don't know just what the situation is. Who all is going to be involved in that.
You haven't committed to him?
No.
Governor, Congressman Anderson is the Illinois, the caucus chairman of the House. They suggested the party needs to move more toward the center if it's going to attract Democrats. You seem to take an opposite position.
I think that the party needs to state to the people once and for all clearly what it represents, what it stands for. And then, having raised that banner, to rally around it and attract those others that like the colors of that banner. I do not believe that for vote-getting purposes you go out and vitiate, water down your true philosophical belief in order to persuade someone to vote for you. The Democrats have been doing things like that for years, and that's why they've got a weird coalition that can't enjoy itself in one room together.
If he had been more specific on the things he believed in?
Oh, I don't want to criticize someone else's campaign. I'm sure he campaigned on what he believed, and he came very close in the election. It would only have taken a few thousand votes to turn it around. So, I think every candidate would do his campaigning in his own way. And so, yes, mine's.
Do you concur with Mr. Flournoy that the Nixon pardon was what led to his downfall in the election?
I don't. I have no analysis to bear that out. I know there was a feeling that suddenly in this wave, this rising up again of the whole thing, Watergate, which seemed to have been quenched, did kind of interfere with what might have been a momentum on the part of the Republican Party.
Governor, have you decided what to do with your official papers? Who's going to get them?
We're still working on that and putting them together.
Decide who they will go to?
No.
A weird coalition. Are you talking about the Democrats in constitutional office now? Just one election Tuesday?
Oh, no. I was talking about nationally, the whole Democratic coalition back through the years. And normally they could find enough pleasing to each various segment in this coalition that they could get something out of it to where in election time they could swallow the resentment perhaps of other groups and come together. And lately, one faction more than others seems to have been dominant since 1972, and the result is that the coalition is spread further apart, and they're having their problems of getting together. And it is a weird coalition. There are people whose aims and goals, as I said in here last week, are so in line with the Republican thinking that it makes you wonder how they can continue to wear the label Democrat.
Thank you, Governor.